Hare Krishna. This is the island of Antadvip. When Krishna was performing his supreme pastimes in Vrindavan, Aghasura came with the purpose of killing Krishna and all the gopas, with the understanding that in separation from them, all the residents of Vrindavan will die. But we know how the small boys, although they knew he was a gigantic serpent, mouth stretching to the clouds, they fearlessly danced into the mouth of Aghasura, knowing that Krishna will save them. Aghasura was such a demon, even Indra and the most powerful devatas of the heavens were terribly fearful of him. But the little cowherd boys, they didn't have any great physical strength. They did not have the divine astras of the demigods. They had one thing, complete faith and trust in their friend Krishna. Therefore they were fearless. Bhajahure mana Sri Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charana Ravindare. When our mind takes shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Nanda Nandana, that is the only state of consciousness that is transcendental to fear. In this material world, there's always something that we can be afraid of. Afraid of insult, fear of death, fear of some disturbance to our comfortable position in the world, disease. When we're doing Harinam Sankirtan, if we're not completely absorbed in the holy name, there's fear of rocks in the road, snakes in the bushes, buses, trucks, and rickshaws. Just yesterday, one of our dear devotees departed from this world, Sriman Dattatreya Joshi. Actually, it was a glorious departure. I believe he was a man elderly in his 60s. He was on a train to Mayapur. That means he was in the eagerness of achieving the supreme abode of the Lord. I think all of you on the train were very eager, anticipating, I'm going to Mayapur, I'm going to Mayapur, the Lord's supreme abode. But he took a shortcut. He didn't have to go so many hours on the train as the rest of you. In that eagerness, his heart had some sort of ecstatic failure. The devotees were all around him. So many devotees, sincerely, prayerfully, with no offense or motivation, they were loudly chanting the holy name. And just previously, I was told he was preaching to so many people the glories of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. You took the slow train. He took Navadvip Express. And you have to go back to Bombay. He doesn't. So we should offer our prayers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. to give his mercy upon this precious soul. But also, there is always the reminder in these situations that there is danger at every step. But for the gopas, there was no danger, because whether they live or die, they're thinking of Krishna. So they fearlessly danced, literally danced into Agasura's mouth, smiling and laughing and looking at Krishna. Krishna entered the mouth. He closed it. It was very dark. All the children became unconscious. There was no air to breathe. Then Krishna expanded himself, so big size, that Agasura Prabhu, he choked. And his spirit soul went out of the top of his head and remained in the sky. Then his mouth just opened. All the boys woke up, they went out, Krishna went out, and the soul merged into the body of Shamsundar. Lord Brahma, he has seen many extraordinary things, being the father and creator of the universe. He was stunned by this. He wanted to test, who is this Krishna? So when Krishna was taking prasad on the bank of Jamuna, he stole the calves. Then he stole the gopas. Krishna expanded himself, identical to all of them, for one full year. When Brahma came down, he saw everyone was still there. He was bewildered. Then he saw every calf and every gopa transform into the four-armed form of Vishnu. Then it all disappeared, and little Krishna, in his Pogandalila, with a lump of yogurt and fruit in his hand, was searching for his friends. He came down and surrendered his life. Due to my false pride, I was thinking I could test you. Krishna forgave him. But it is explained that Lord Brahma still was feeling great shame and regret in his heart. And he was thinking that the age of Kali is coming and Krishna will appear again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Due to my false pride and prestige of being the father and creator, I was not able to relish the sweetness of the pastimes that these simple cowherd boys had with Krishna. In my next incarnation, I do not want to make such a mistake. So he came here to Antardvip, and he performed tapasya to please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After a long time of deep, sincere prayer, Lord Gauranga appeared before him. Lord Brahma surrendered his life. He said, "My Lord, please take away my pride. Let me be a simple, humble servant, constantly chanting your holy names and glories." Lord Gauranga granted his benediction. "When I appear in Navadvip, in my most merciful incarnation of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, as you are seeing today, you will also take birth. You will take birth in a Yavana family. You'll be more humble than a blade of grass." In that state of utter humility, you will be constantly chanting my holy names. You will be chanting 3,192,000 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra each and every day. You will be the Namacharya. You will spread the glories of the holy name throughout the world. You will be my dear and intimate associate. And when you leave this world, you will be staring at my moon-like face, and I will dance with your body in my arms. Please know, Brahma, the intimate esoteric significance of this incarnation. I will appear in the role of my own devotee, and through my actions, I will teach the world the process of devotional service. I will spread the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names, throughout the world. I will tell you a deep secret. In order to understand the supreme love of my dearest of all devotees, Srimati Radharani, I will appear with her sentiment of love and with her golden complexion. I will give love of God freely, without discrimination. And to all the devotees who appear with me, even the devotees of other previous incarnations, I will give them all the ecstasy of being drunk with the nectar of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. This is a secret that you should not disclose to anyone. Now you remain always chanting the holy names. At the end of your life, Brahma, you will return to the eternal abode of Sri Navadvip Dham in Goloka Vrindavan. Because this secret, Antar, was revealed to Lord Brahma, in this place, it is thus called Antardweep. We know that Nityananda Prabhu told Jiva Goswami during his parikrama of Navadweep that the day will come when the Ganga will flood and cover this whole area completely, and the places of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will be lost. But a great personality will come in the future to rediscover them and reveal them to the world. It was Thakur Bhaktivinod that discovered the original authorized place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, where we are sitting today. And although he was very, very dignified and distinguished person, he went door to door begging, house to house, in order to raise some funds to build a simple temple in this holy place. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was truly a servant of the holy Dharma, and his most blessed son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he took up the mission of his father, and he is the one that built the temple that is standing today. When they were excavating the temple, they discovered a great treasure, the original deity of Adhokshaja Vishnu that was worshipped by Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Devi, and Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu 500 years ago in this place. And that deity is still on the altar to this day. On our left side are the deities of Sri Radha Madhava. In the center is Lord Gauranga with his divine consort Vishnu Priya. Standing on his left side, and Lakshmi Priya on his right side. And to our far right is the Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Behind the temple, or onto the side of the temple, is the sacred neem tree. A descendant of the original neem tree under which Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally appeared in this world. Behind the sacred neem tree is the deity of Gopeshwar Mahadev, who is Chaitrapala, Shiva, the protector of the holy dham. All devotees, before beginning their parikrama, take the blessings and beg for the mercy of Lord Mahadev. In the rear of the compound are deities of Sri Gaur Gadadhar, Lakshmi Narasimha, and a very nice place where we offer our love and worship to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In this most illustrious place, the Lord appeared to the manifested vision of the world to give what no other incarnation had ever given, pure love of Krishna. Our holy scriptures explain how before the Lord's appearance, first he sent his eternal associates, Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Paramananda Puri, Advaitacharya, Srivas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, Jagannath Mishra, Sachi Devi. Jagannath Mishra came from the place called Srihatta. And Nilambar Chakravarti married his very chaste and worthy daughter, Sachi Devi, to Jagannath Mishra here in Navadvip. They were incarnations of Yashoda Mai and Nanda Maharaj of Vrindavan. The condition of Navadvip at that time was that it was a very, very affluent city. It is explained that the ghats of Navadvip were so crowded that at every bathing ghat in the Ganges, there would be hundreds and thousands of people coming to bathe. We only have about 900, and you thought the bathing ghat was quite crowded. There were thousands of schools with thousands and thousands and thousands of teachers, greatest scholars in all of India, and each had thousands of students. And everybody was very proud to be holding their scriptures in their hand. The wealth of Navadvip was not money. That's a low-class type of wealth. It was knowledge. If a person could defeat others in debate, he was considered a very wealthy person. People were so learned. Everyone was arguing with everyone. Even students were debating with their teachers just to show their knowledge. Terrible pride and arrogance. But there was one defect in Navadvip. Of the six systems of philosophy, there was no authority in the school of Naya or logic, because the high seat of learning there was Mithila, which is today north of Bihar. And the teachers there, they had a very strict rule that they would not give out their books to anyone. You'd go there, you'd learn from them, but they wouldn't give you a copy of the book, so you couldn't teach it anywhere else you went. But there was one great scholar named Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He knew five of the different schools of philosophy perfectly, and he had all the scriptures. He went to Mithila. He learned the scriptures of logic, and he had such a pristine memory that he memorized every syllable of every word of every sloka of all the scriptures. He came back to Navadvip And he had the scriptures copied and he was able to speak them, and therefore he was considered the supreme king of all teachers of Navadvipa. He was teaching here for many years, and it was actually in his school that Nimai Pandit later on was to learn. But King Prataparudra of Puri, knowing him to be the greatest of the scholars, invited him to be the king's philosopher and guru in the great state of Orissa. Although there was so much opulence, no one was hungry. Everyone had everything they needed because everything was just provided to Navadvipa. It is described that Brahma, Vishvakarma, and the various demigods, knowing that Lord Chaitanya would appear, they created such incredible opulence here. But there was a problem. Due to pride, arrogance, and greed, nobody cared anything about service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People would spend huge sums of money on the marriage of their children. This broke the hearts of the devotees. What a waste. Hare Krishna. Not only that, but nobody respected anybody properly. There were speakers of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other scriptures, but they never said a single word about devotion. They would worship goddess Manasi, snake serpent goddess. They would worship Chandika, Durga Devi, all for material benefits. And the devotees who were chanting the holy names and trying to live a pure life of devotion, they were constantly being criticized and condemned. They were called beggars. They were called sentimentalists. They were being threatened, blasphemed. It was a place of atheism, impersonalism, Mayavad, Karmakanda, no bhakti. Srivas Thakur and his three brothers, they would chant the holy names day and night, begging for the Lord to save the wretched condition of human society. And Sri Advaitacharya, on the bank of the Ganges, just close by, cried out for Lord Krishna to appear. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi gave birth to 8 daughters. However, each and every one of them died soon after their birth. This brought great grief to their hearts. So they made special offerings of worship to Lord Krishna. And in answer to their prayers, a beautiful son was born, an expansion of Lord Nityananda. His name was Vishwarup. He had such divine qualities. Now, materialistic people, when they receive the benediction they're asking for from the Lord, they reduce their worship, or they give up their worship. We have what we want. We don't need you anymore, Lord. We'll put you in the closet until we need you again. But they were real Vaishnavas. With grateful hearts, they increased their worship. It was in the month of Magh, in the year 1406 Saka, which corresponds to 1485 of our Western calendar, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Swayam Bhagavan, appeared within the heart of Jagannath Mishra. Then he transferred himself into the heart of Sachi Devi. then appeared within her womb. When Sachi Devi was holding the Supreme Personality of Godhead in her womb, she became effulgent. The demigods understood the Lord is in her womb. They would come to offer prayers and worship to the child within her womb. Sometimes Sachi Devi, during her pregnancy, would have dreams of celestial beings offering flowers, garlands, and beautiful prayers to her child. Sometimes when Jagannath Mishra was walking down the street, pious people would just come up and give him all kinds of auspicious gifts for no reason at all. They understood a very special child was to take birth. He remained within the womb for 13 full months. Parents were getting worried. He's not coming out. They approached Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, who was a very great astrologer and learned pundit. And he performed the proper calculations and explained that this is a divine personality. He is waiting for the most auspicious possible moment to appear. It was during the great festival of Holi, on the full moon night of the month of Phalgun, in the year 1486. 1407 Saka, that an eclipse covered the full moon. Kaviraj Goswami says that seeing a moon that has so many spots upon it, Rahu decided that it is the time for the spotless moon of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu to appear. So he covered the moon. During the eclipse, it is the religious principle that everyone followed, that they would all go to the Ganges, take their bath, and loudly chant the names of Lord Hari, because they considered the eclipse to be very, very inauspicious. This was the only time they would chant the names of Hari. Recently, one Bengali devotee was telling me that so many Bengalis, they worship Kali Mata, Durga Devi, with all kinds of material desires. But when a person is on their deathbed, they all chant the holy names of Krishna. So throughout Navadvip, the holy name of Lord Hari was being chanted. The Hindus were in the ghats chanting, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And the Muslims, seeing everyone chanting, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
They became quite blissful and started imitating by calling out, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Everyone, everywhere, Hari, Hari! When all the sky was chanting, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Sachi Devi. His purpose of coming was to spread the glories of the chanting of the Maha Mantra. And therefore he took his birth at such an auspicious time. In fact, Srivas Thakur, Advaitacharya, all the Vaishnavas, when they saw everyone chanting the names of Hari, they were crying, blissful, chanting, praying to Krishna, may this eclipse last forever. It's the only time they'll chant. The beautiful moon of Navadvip appeared. with all the auspicious markings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That most sacred day of Palgun Purnima, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, one who observes that day of Gaur Purnima, chanting and hearing the glories of Lord Gauranga in the association of devotees, that person will certainly get Lord Chaitanya's mercy and achieve pure devotional service. He says, it is the most holy of all holy days. And this is the most holy of all holy places, Sri Navadvip Dham. Sri Navadvip Chandra Ki Jai. When the child was born, people were simply infatuated by his beauty and his divine qualities. Sita Thakurani, the wife of Advaita, came and offered so many auspicious gifts to the child. When she saw him, she was thinking in the core of her heart that this is Gopal, Gopal Krishna, who has appeared with a beautiful golden complexion. Nilambar Chakravarti Thakur, with other learned Brahmins, came to study his horoscope. Nilambar Chakravarti said that, I see, he's a great king. He's divine. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said in the scriptures that someday a great king will be born from a Brahmin family. Perhaps this is him. Another saintly Brahmin, he spoke. He said, this is Bhagavan. This is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has descended with a beautiful golden form to teach the highest principles of the religion and the Yuga Dharma to the world. He is the embodiment of all compassion. His name will be Navadvip Chandra because he will bring the greatest joy to all the residents of Navadvip. And he was thinking about telling them how when he's 24, he's going to renounce the world and take sannyas. But he stopped because he wanted the parents to remain happy on this auspicious day. During the names-giving ceremony, Nilambar Chakravarti and the Brahmins, they predicted that this boy, he is the very personality who nourishes the entire universe. Therefore, his name will be Vishwambar. Sachi Mata named him Nimai because he took birth under the neem tree. And also, the neem tree is very famous for chasing away ghosts and bad spirits. The ladies of Navadvip, seeing his beautiful golden form which resembled Krishna, they called him Gaur Hari. Jagannath Mishra would call him by the name Gauranga, one whose every limb is beautiful like molten gold. The devas, they were disguising themselves as Brahmins and Brahmins' wives to come and offer worship and gifts to the Lord. Sometimes they would play tricks. They would secretly be outside the place where the Lord was born. And the inhabitants of Navadvip, they would see shadows. They would think it was a ghost coming to attack. So they would start crying out, Narasingha Dev, Narasingha Dev, save this child. And one person would come and say, I am an exorcist. My profession is to chase away ghosts. When I chant the name of Narasingha, no ghost could come. Get away, get away. And the demigods would simply laugh. as they were taking darshan of their worshipable Lord. When the Lord would cry, it would break the hearts of the ladies of Navadvip, because their life and soul was simply to make him happy. When he would cry, they would do anything to pacify him. They would give him all sorts of gifts, but everything they gave him, he would just cry more and more and more. And one day, one of the ladies, just not knowing what to do, how to do, she just went, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
And the Lord smiled and cast such an ambrosial glance of love upon her. They knew what pleases his heart. Every day, the ladies would gather at the house of Sachidevi, chanting the holy names. And whenever the Lord would cry, they would immediately begin to chant. This became the continuous pastime in the house of Sachidevi. From his very infancy, he was expertly inducing everyone around him to take shelter of offenselessly chanting Krishna's holy names. When he was only about 4 months old, he started to perform the leelas of Lord Krishna. When his parents were not looking, he went in the house and just scattered everything around. He threw the dal and the rice and the yogurt and the milk and the ghee all over the walls and the ceiling and broke all the pots. He was only 4 months. He wasn't even walking yet. They went into the room and they saw a total mess. And the only person there was little baby Nimai. So Jagannath Mishra and Sachidevi were thinking, it's a ghost. A ghost attacked this boy. But because he's pious, the ghost could not harm him. So therefore, in anger, he destroyed everything in the house. And while they were discussing this, little Nimai was simply smiling. Then it came the time of the Annaprasna, where they gave the first grains to Nimai. And they performed that nice ritual where they wanted to investigate what is the nature of the child. So they put nice valuable jewels in one place, and gold coins in another, and silken garments in another. Then they put grains to see whether he's going to be a Vaishya or whether he's going to be a Kshatriya. And in one place they had the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jagannath Mishra said, my dear child Nimai, go to wherever your heart is most attracted. And the child immediately crawled right to Srimad Bhagavatam and embraced it to his heart. And everyone was so happy. They cried out, Jai, Jai!
Jai, Jai!
The boy will become a great scholar of Srimad Bhagavatam. He will become the best of the Vaishnavas. As little Nimai embraced very affectionately Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, he was the very personification of the essence of teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. When he was little boy, hardly crawling, just learning to walk, he was in the courtyard here, probably right where we're sitting. And he found a gigantic cobra. The cobra saw Nimai and coiled his body into a very comfortable, soft bed. And Nimai very pleasingly laid in the coils of this deadly snake. Very happily, smiling. It was actually Ananta Shesha. Lord Nityananda Prabhu's expansion, coming to render service. But the family members, when they saw him, they could not appreciate his devotional sentiments. They were worried. Our child, he's laying in the coils of a cobra. They didn't want to go near, afraid that if they went near, the cobra would be angry and might bite the child. So they were crying and weeping, beating their hands against their heads. What will we do? They had no other recourse but to cry out for the great killer of birds, Garuda, to save the child. And they all cried out, Garuda! 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 And when Ananta Shesh saw that everyone was so disturbed by his devotional service, he started slithering away very quietly. That time, the ladies of the house ran and grabbed Nilay. Get back, get away. Ananta Shesha slithered away. And meanwhile, Nimai kept trying to run back to grab him. But they kept bringing him back. He kept running. They bring him, run, bring him. It was the daily pastime that the ladies would just chant for the pleasure of Nimai. Small boy. He was like a puppet in the hands of his devotees. He was conquered by the love of his devotees. Lord Chaitanya is the supreme absolute truth. He's the source of the universal form that Arjuna saw devouring all the greatest conquerors of the world with his flaming mouths. He's the source of Narasingadev, Varahadev, Parasaram, Ram, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. But yet, the ladies would say, Nimai, dance as we chant. And he would be on their laps and he would dance. They would order him and he would follow their order and dance for their pleasure. He became like a dancing puppet in the hands of his devotees. And they would chant and he would dance and they would chant and he would dance and he would dance so beautiful. Although he had just learned walking, he danced so gracefully. Every one of his resplendent golden limbs just attracting their hearts in ecstatic love. Then he would go out into the streets. He would meet strangers and he would beg them for sandesh, for rasgullas, for different sweetmeats. He would come in and he would give as donations, not donations, something like dakshina. He would give as gifts the sweetmeats to all the ladies who were pleasing his heart by chanting the holy names. In this pastime, Nimai becomes a beggar for his devotees who chant his holy names. As he grew a little older, he was manifesting more and more the leelas of Lord Krishna. He would secretly go into the homes of the people of Navadvip. He would break their pots. He would steal their butter and eat it. He would steal their yogurt. He would make all kinds of messes in the floors. He would pour water in the baby's ears, make them cry. And sometimes the people would chase after him and he'd run away. Very hard to catch. But when he would be caught, he would have tears in his eyes and he would tremble in fear and he'd fold his palms and say, please, please, don't tell my mother. Don't punish me. I promise I will never come here and do this again. Just let me go. He would melt their hearts.
They would give him everything they wanted and say, now you can go.
As he grew a little older, he was manifesting more and more the leelas of Lord Krishna. He would secretly go into the homes of the people of Navadvip. He would break their pots. He would steal their butter and eat it. He would steal their yogurt. He would make all kinds of messes in the floors. He would pour water in the baby's ears, make them cry. And sometimes the people would chase after him and he'd run away. Very hard to catch. But when he would be caught, he would have tears in his eyes and he would tremble in fear and he'd fold his palms and say, please, please, don't tell my mother. Don't punish me. I promise, I will never come here and do this again. Just let me go. He would melt their hearts.
They would give him everything they wanted and say, now you can go.
Actually, when Nimai did this, he gave ecstatic pleasure to whoever's house he raided. If you do it, people will become upset. But when he did it, they became ecstatic. Because he is the supreme proprietor of everything that exists. And when the Lord accepts whatever we have for his pleasure, that is the perfection of life. One day, a Brahmin came to the house of Jagannath Mishra. This Brahmin was performing a pilgrimage all around India to the holy places. He was very peaceful, self-controlled, and his heart possessed pure love for his worshipable deity, Bal Gopal. In fact, around his neck, he had a shalagram shila and a small deity of Bal Gopal. He was constantly chanting the holy names of Lord Krishna. And everything he did was for the service of Krishna. He was effulgent, full of love. When he came begging at the door of Jagannath Mishra, being such a pure servant of the Lord, invited him in his home, gave him a seat, offered him all sorts of hospitality. He said, my dear Brahmin, please tell me, where is your home? The Brahmin responded that I have no home. I simply wander. Due to my restless mind, I wander wherever my heart leads me. Jagannath Mishra replied, you travel from place to place just to give good fortune to wherever you go. Now please, bless our house by accepting our food. You see, in Vaishnav culture, the real blessing is when someone accepts our worship, accepts our service. Today people demand blessings. Give me this. Swamiji, bless my son, bless my daughter, bless my mother, bless my father, bless me, bless my bank account, bless my business. My hair's falling out, bless my head. My teeth are falling out. Bless my teeth. You're laughing, but these are the requests we get. You don't know. They don't tell you what they ask. So in the name of blessing, they want you to serve them. But actually, a Vaishnav knows, if someone accepts my service, that is their blessing. The interest is to give, not to take. Blessing is a reciprocation. reciprocation of affection. So Jagannath Mishra, he said, please bless our home by accepting our food.
We will make all arrangements for you to cook. He cleaned the kitchen, brought nice bhoga.
He cooked. He would not eat anything unless he cooked it with his own hands and offered it with pure love to Bal Gopal. Everyone was so happy to see him doing his puja.
He began to chant his mantras, crying for Gopal to come.
And just when he was crying, Gopal, please take this food, singing the Gopal mantra, Nimai appeared before him and appeared before all the members of the family and with his hand picked up a lump of rice and ate it.
Hi, hi! He has spoiled my offering!
Nimai was smiling. Jagannath Mishra was angry like fire. He picked up a stick.
You will not do this to me.
He went to punish Nimai. Nimai stood there. And the Brahman, he grabbed Jagannath Mishra by the hand. He said, no, don't punish this child. He's just a little baby. He doesn't know what is right, what is wrong. It is not my destiny to eat rice today. Just get me some fruits and roots and I will be happy. Jagannath Mishra said, no, please cook again.
Cook again.
Everything happens by the will of the Lord. It's my providence. Just give me fruits and roots. I'm not meant to eat rice today. Jagannath Mishra begged, please cook again. All the family members fell at his feet, grabbing his dust, saying, please, please cook again. He said, all right, I'll cook again. They cleaned the kitchen, brought new bhoga. He cooked. Jagannath Mishra said, take Nimai to another house. They took him to another house. And some ladies, their duty was full time just to guard him, to keep him away from that Brahman. So they were chanting and Nimai was dancing. He was cast such beautiful, merciful glances from his lotus eyes. He was charming their hearts. They said, Nimai, you're a Brahmin. How could you eat food from someone you don't know where he's from? You don't know what is his caste? Your Brahmical standards will be spoiled. Nimai said, no, I'm just a cowherd boy. I always eat food that's offered by Brahmins. They could not understand him. He hypnotized them. It's such loving emotions that they were chanting, they were singing, and Nimai disappeared, and they did not even know. Meanwhile, Brahman finished his offering, sitting down, Gopal Murti chanting his Gopal mantra. Gopal, please come accept this offering. And he looked up and there was the radiant gold Nimai eating the rice.
Hi, hi! The child has spoiled my offering again!
Ah! Jagannath Mishra picked up stick, went charging after Nimai. Nimai ran away into a room and closed the door.
Jagannath Mishra chased after him. You can't do this in my house. You think I'm such a fool that you can do this to me? No, today I will punish you. Today you will learn a good lesson from me.
The Brahmin went chasing after Jagannath Mishra. Please, please don't touch him. Don't hurt him. This is very inauspicious. He's only a child. Besides that, I'm not destined to eat rice today. Just give me some fruits and roots.
No, cook again.
I will not cook again. So Jagannath Mishra was in so much anxiety that he's not able to properly serve this guest,
that he was just sitting down with his head in his hands. And the other family members were in great, great distress. At that time, Vishwaroop, the elder brother of Nimai, entered. When the Brahmin saw him, he was struck with wonder. Such beauty, such divine qualities. Whose son is this? The family member said, he is the son of Sachi and Jagannath Mishra. Such fortunate parents to have this son. Vishwaroop fell at his lotus feet, paying his dandavats. And with folded palms and with great humility, he said, our home is so fortunate that such a great Brahmin as you has come to bless us. But we are so unfortunate that you haven't eaten any rice. Please cook again. The Brahmin said, it's already late at night. Vishwaroop said, it's not too late. It's very good time to cook. Then Vishwaroop fell at his feet, clasping onto his feet, please, please, cook again. He said, all right. Everyone went, jai, jai. Jagannath Mishra said, lock Nimai in the room, bolt the door, and I'll stand as a guard with my stick in hand. The lady said, no problem. Nimai is fast asleep. He doesn't know anything anymore. It's no danger. So he cooked his offering. At that time, Nimai sent the goddess of sleep, Nidra Devi, to put everyone in the house deeply in sleep. Only the Brahmin was awake. He finished his offering, chanted the Gopal mantra, opened his eyes, and there was Nimai eating the rice. Hi, hi! He has spoiled my offering again! But nobody heard him. They were sleeping. Nimai looked at him, smiling. He said, why are you upset? You have called me, and I have come. You're offering this food to me, and I'm accepting it. I am your Gopal. Then he manifested a transcendental darshan. This Brahmin saw the body of Nimai transformed. He had a beautiful complexion, dark like the tamal tree. He was wearing a golden crown. His beautiful body had the Kastuba mani and a Vajayanti garland. He possessed 8 arms. The 4 arms of Vishnu holding the chakra, gada, the club, the lotus, and the conch shell. In 2 of his hands, he was playing his celebrated flute. And in one hand he had a pot of butter, and the other hand he was eating the butter. The Brahmin saw behind him kadamba trees, the birds of Vrindavan, parrots, cuckoos, chakoras, chakravartis, peacocks. He saw the river Jamuna flowing, the forests of Braja, unlimited gopas, gopis, and cows, demigods offering prayers. The Lord was casting a loving glance upon him. The Brahmin, in ecstasy, he fell to the ground unconscious. At that time, Nimai, in this divine form, touched him with his lotus hand and revived his consciousness. The Brahmin was weeping, crying, rolling on the ground in ecstasy. Nimai told him, in your previous life, you came to the house of Nanda Maharaj as a beggar. At that time, I revealed the same form to you. You do not remember, but I do. You are my eternal servant, birth after birth. I have appeared to propagate the transcendental chanting of the holy names of Krishna, the Yuga Dharma, to liberate the world. But no one knows this. You should not reveal it to anyone, or your life will be reduced. This Brahman became so fixed in love of God, the form again transformed into little Nimai, and he ran into his room to pretend to sleep. That time the Brahman, he was in such ecstatic love, he started howling, "Gopal, Gopal, Gopal!" And this prasad that was in the Lord's mouth, he started eating it. He started rubbing it on every limb of his body to get the mercy. And he was crying and howling. Everyone woke up. They came running to see what's happened. He saw them. Immediately, he became calm and wiped himself. They said, "What happened?" He said, "Offering was successful, no problem." He was thinking, "I must tell them the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is living in their house. Gopal lives here, but they don't know it. If they know it, they will be liberated. But I can't tell them, because I promised." From that day on, that Brahmin never left Navadvip. He would go begging door to door, but every single day he would come to Sachi Mata's house to watch the beautiful pastimes of Nimai. When Nimai grew a little older, it was time for the samskara of first putting chalk in his hand and teaching him to write the first letter. His charming hand, fingers delicate like the petals of a lotus flower, held the chalk, and they taught him the Sanskrit alphabet. He learned immediately. In fact, everything they taught him once, he could immediately expertly perform it and never forget. This was to the great astonishment of all of his family members. One day, Nimai started crying. Sachi Mata asked, "What do you want?" He said, "That bird flying in the sky, I want that bird." Sachi said, "I can't give you that bird. I'll give you anything else you ask for. I want that bird. I won't accept anything but that bird." And if he couldn't get the bird, he would just start destroying everything until everyone gathered around him to chant the holy names. Another day, he said to his mother, "I want the moon. That beautiful full moon. Give it to me. I want to play with it." She said, "I can't give you the moon." He started crying, "No, I want the moon. You must give me. You promised to give me anything I want, didn't you? Yes, give me the moon." He started crying, destroying everything in sight. "Give me the moon." The only thing that would pacify him was the loud chanting of the holy name. This is very symbolic. Because the Lord is the proprietor of everything, including the birds and the moon. One day, He was crying.
So much crying. And when the Lord would cry, it would just break the devotees' hearts. Because their life and soul was simply to make him happy. Everyone gathered around him, chanting and chanting and chanting. But he didn't stop crying. They said, Nimai, we're chanting. We're chanting. Hari, Hari. Hari, Hari. Hari, Hari. He continued crying. So what do you want?
He said, Jagadish and Hiranya Pandits, I want the offerings that they're giving to their deities. This took them by great surprise.
Impossible. How could we go? It's a distance away. How could we ask them for all their offerings?
So that's the only thing that will satisfy me. Nothing else. So they went to Jagadish Pandit and Hiranya Pandit's houses and said, Nimai wants all your offerings.
How intelligent this boy is. Today is Ekadasi, and today we made special, luxurious feasts for the deities. How did he know? He must be Krishna himself. So very happily, they packed up the whole offering and brought it here to Jagannath Mishra's house and put it before the Lord.
The Lord smiled and took a piece of every offering, made kind of a mess too. And as Jagadish and Hiranya Pandit were looking at him eating, they were thinking, this is Gopal of Braja, eating our offerings. This is the perfection of our life. One day, Nimai was playing with his friends on the bank of the Ganga, and they found a little family of newborn puppy dogs. And they all decided that we will divide up these puppies. But Nimai selected the best one. So his friends were very upset. Nimai, you have taken the best one. We want that one.
Nimai said, no. We'll keep him in my house. And every day you can all come to my house and we'll all play with this beautiful puppy together. They said, very good, very good.
So he took puppy home. At that time, Sachi Mata was out at the Ganga with her friends. They were playing with the dog inside the house. As they were playing, there was a quarrel between two of his friends, and Nimai sided with one of them. So the person he sided against, that person became very angry. And he ran outside, and he said, Nimai, you stole our puppy. He saw Sachi Mata coming from Ganga and said, do you know what your son is doing? He's playing with dogs. He puts the dog on his head, he puts the dog on his shoulders, he rolls around in the dirt with the dog in your house. Go and look. Sachi was very upset. She came to the house and there she saw Nimai and his friends rolling around with this little puppy.
She said, Nimai! Why are you doing like this? You are coming from a respectable Brahmin family. We have taught you all your life the principles of cleanliness. I give you so many nice things to play with. Why you have to select to play with a dog? You'll lose your reputation. This is more painful than death to me. I will give up my body if you continue these things.
All right, you go in your room, Nimai, and you play with your dog. Forget about me and your father. Then Nimai smiled at her, and her heart was so charmed that all of her distress vanished, and she picked up Nimai and embraced him, kissed him, showering him with love. She said, Nimai, you must be hungry. I have prepared nice prasad for you.
Please, go to River Ganga to take your bath. And I will watch your dog, and you can play with him after you take prasad.
So Nimai said,
all right, I'll tie up my dog to this chair. You watch the dog, make sure he's here when I come back. Yes, yes, of course.
Said, I'm very attached to this puppy.
Yes, yes.
So she anointed his body with fragrant oils and sent him to Ganga. Nimai came to Ganga and started playing and splashing with all of his friends. Meanwhile, Sachi Devi untied the puppy and sent him away. One friend came running to Ganga and said, I saw, what did you see? I saw Sachi Mata, your mother, send the puppy away. What? Nimai was very angry. He came running home. Mata, where is my puppy? You don't understand. This was a very beautiful puppy. Why did you do this to me? Sachi Mata said, No, I don't know where the puppy went. I think a thief must have come and stolen him. Just take your prasad, and tomorrow we'll find the puppy and you can play with him. So she fed nice prasad to Nimai, and she dressed him with fine silks and tied up his hair in a knot in the top. And Nimai grabbed a sweet ball and went out to play with his friends. That puppy, because he was touched by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he became completely purified. He gave up all of his puppy inclinations. This is what happens when you get the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. You give up all your dog-like inclinations. And he was possessed with love of Krishna. In fact, on his two hind legs, he was dancing with his arms raised, chanting the holy names. He was performing Harinam Sankirtan through the streets of Navadvip. People saw him, they were struck with wonder. His limbs were trembling. All his puppy hairs were standing on end. There were torrents of tears coming from his puppy eyes. His ears were raised, he was dancing, he was foaming at the mouth, he was in ecstasy. People were wondering, such a great personality. He induced everyone to chant the holy names. Then in front of everyone's eyes, while chanting the holy name, he dropped to the ground and his soul left his body. A great wonder took place. A golden celestial airplane with domes on the top and decorated with precious jewels and garlands descended to the world. Residents of the spiritual world picked up the puppy. He was transformed into his original spiritual body, opulent and effulgent. He boarded the airplane. That spiritual form that was once a puppy, with tears of love in his eyes, was chanting the names of Radha Krishna and Lord Gauranga. There was conch shells and gongs and various mridangas playing as the airship brought him directly to Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. The demigods, seeing this great miracle, they came and started worshiping that puppy, chanting the glories of Lord Gauranga. The demigods were saying, no incarnation is so merciful as this. We have never seen any avatar send an insignificant dog back to Goloka Vrindavan immediately. We only wish that we can be so fortunate as this dog. The demigods were praying to receive the same mercy as that puppy dog.
as they chanted the holy names of Lord Gauranga. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prayed that I just want to be the dog of my spiritual master. That is the perfection of life. One day, Sachi Devi was taking an offering of sweetmeats to a temple of the goddess Shashti Devi. She wanted to ask a boon from Shashti Devi, that her Nimai would have a long life full of health and always be happy. While she was going to the temple in the forests of Navadvip, little Nimai stood in front of her on the path and said, "Mata, what are you holding in your hands?" She had the offering under the cloth of her sari so no one would see it. She said, "This is an offering for Shashti Devi. She's the great demigoddess. I'm going to offer her this with devotion and pray for the benediction that you will always be happy and healthy." Nimai said, "Mother, I want those sweets now." She said, "I will offer, then you can have the prasad." "Mother, you don't understand. My stomach is burning with unbearable hunger." And at that time, very quickly, he stole everything on the plate and ate it right in the eyes of his mother. "What have you done? Have you no regard for the demigoddess?" Nimai said, "I am the proprietor of everything that exists. I am the lord of all the worlds. If you water the root of a tree, or you supply food to the stomach, then all the leaves of the tree and all the limbs of the body are nourished. Similarly, if you supply offering and please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the demigods will automatically be satisfied." Sachimata could not understand this big, big language of little Nimai. She made another offering. She went to Shashti Devi and she said, "Please forgive my Nimai. Please forgive him. And I beg this benediction, make him less restless, make him happy and obedient." Then Sachi Devi approached the neighboring ladies and begged from them that, "Please bless my child, that he will live forever." Nimai and his friends, every day, they would go to the various bathing ghats on the bank of the holy river Ganges. And they were so mischievous, so wild and out of control from anyone's comprehension, that they would create a transcendental scene. They would be kicking water and throwing sand. In fact, they were playing so enthusiastically that the whole Ganga became muddy. And when ladies came with their pots to bring clear water for cooking and for bathing, the water was all full of mud. They had to go home. One day, some of the Brahmins, they came here where we are sitting, Yoga Pete, to complain to Jagannath Mishra. Actually, this is an eternal leela. It's happening right now. All of these leelas are eternally manifested. But we can experience them through sound vibration. Because the sound vibration of these pastimes are identical to these pastimes. If we actually become absorbed in hearing the leela of the Lord from proper sources, we are actually not only witnessing the leela, but participating within the leela. So these Brahmins came to complain to Jagannath Mishra.
because this complaining gave them great pleasure, because it gave them the opportunity to absorb their minds and their senses in speaking about the object of their love, Nimai.
So Jagannath Mishra,
you don't know what your son is doing every day.
One Brahmin said,
he kicks water on us. When we're trying to take our bath, he causes so much commotion. And when we're finishing our bath and we come out of the water, he takes sand and throws it all over our body, so we have to bathe again. Then we come out and he throws sand in our body and we have to bathe again. We come out, he throws more sand. And as we're bathing, he splashes us in the eyes and everywhere else.
One Brahmin said,
he was underwater and all of a sudden he appeared and he spit water in my face.
Another Brahmin said,
I was in the Ganga doing deep meditation, going into a state of samadhi, and he started kicking water right in my face and splashing. Broke my meditation.
And then he said, on whom do you meditate?
I am the supreme object of everyone's meditation.
Then he would go underwater and escape. Another Brahmin said,
he stole my Shiva Linga that I was worshipping right in the middle of the puja.
Another Brahmin said, he stole my clothes while I was bathing. Another Brahmin said, I set up a throne to worship Lord Vishnu and put all kinds of offerings. Then I went to the Ganga to take water. Then I came back.
He was sitting on the throne eating all the offerings.
I asked him, what are you doing?
He said, I am your Lord Narayan. I have accepted your devotion.
One Brahmin said, I was in Ganga chanting Gayatri Mantra.
All of a sudden, your Nimai swimming underwater. I didn't see him. He grabbed my feet and pulled me.
Another Brahmin, he stole my Bhagavad Gita.
When we were bathing in Ganga, we put our children on the banks, little babies. He put water in their ears and made them cry.
Another Brahmin said, I was actually doing meditation in Ganga, and he jumped on my shoulders and cried out, I am Shiva, and then jumped in the water. That's not all he does.
He puts us in such embarrassing positions.
The ladies are at one ghat.
We're at another ghat.
We have our clothes on the banks.
When we come out of the banks, we find that he has exchanged.
The Brahmin said, there's saris and cholis.
And for the women, there's dhotis. He does like this every day for at least 6 hours. He doesn't leave the water 6 hours continuously. Jagannath Mishra, how do you feel that your son is going to remain in good health, staying in the water for so much time?
Jagannath Mishra said to them,
I will teach my son a good lesson. Please forgive him for his mischievousness.
Then the young girls came to Sachi Devi, and they touched her lotus feet and took the dust and said, my dear Mataji, we have, with all respect, something to report to you.
Your child Nimai, today he stole my clothes on the bank of the Ganga.
Another girl says, he comes and he insults me. Another girl says,
he splashes water in my face.
Another girl says, he just for no reason, he starts picking quarrels with me.
Another girl says, I'm doing my puja, my prescribed duty. I've taken a vow to worship Parvati and Shiva, and he comes to all my offerings and just throws it in all directions.
Another girl said, when I came out of the Ganga, he threw sand on every limb of my body.
Another, he spat right in my face with Ganga waters. Another girl said, he put sticky Okada seeds in my hair and I can't get them out. Another girl said, he wants to marry me. Every day he does these things. If you don't stop your son, we're going to complain to our mother and fathers, and they're going to have quarrels with you.
Actually, as they were saying these things, they were simply smiling,
relishing the nectar of these topics.
Sachimata said, she embraced all the girls and said, when Nimai comes home, I will tie him up and make sure he never does these things again. So they touched her feet. They saw Jagannath Mishra with a stick in his hand going to punish Nimai at the Ganga.
So those same girls ran to the river and said, Nimai, Nimai, your father is coming to punish you. Escape, escape now.
So Nimai looked at his friends and he said, if my father comes, tell him I went by a different road home and I didn't come yet to the Ganga to bathe. Then he ran away. Moments later, Jagannath Mishra came with a stick in his hand. He was looking in all directions, fuming with anger. You may wonder, why is he fuming with anger? This is his parental love.
Krishna explains that I take more pleasure being rebuked by those devotees who have spontaneous love than those obedient servants who are chanting Vedic hymns in my glorification. He said, where is Nimai? The children said, Nimai didn't come today. We're still waiting for him to play with us. He went by a different road home.
Jagannath Mishra was thinking, how is this possible?
The Brahmin said, he escaped. He knew you were coming. But actually, Jagannath Mishra, we enjoy his pastime so much. It's our life and soul. You are, who is more fortunate in all the 14th world to have such a beautiful, attractive, loving child as Nimai?
Jagannath Mishra embraced the Brahmins and said, please forgive him for his restlessness and give him your blessings.
At that time, Nimai arrived home. Sachimata saw that every limb of his body was perfectly dry. It was covered with a full day of dust. His hair was dry and dusty. And the ink marks of his schoolwork were still on his body.
She was thinking, how is this possible?
They just came and complained, and there's no trace that he has been to the Ganga. At that time, Jagannath Mishra came home. He said, Nimai, you have been to Ganga? No, no, I'm on my way. He was struck with wonder. There's no sign that he has bathed. He said, that the Brahmins and the young girls have come and complained that you're doing so much mischief. You're stealing the offerings of Vishnu. Have you no fear even of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, my son? Nimai heard the words of his father and replied that I haven't even been to the Ganga yet today. If these people are going to spread these false stories against me, then you just wait and see how much mischief I do today. Then he ran to the Ganga. Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata were just looking at each other, struck with wonder. How is it possible? There was no signs that he had taken bath today. Meanwhile, when he returned to the Ganga, all of his friends were clapping and said, Nimai, very, very good. Today you escaped a good beating. And they celebrated the transcendental expertise of their dear friend. That night, Jagannath Mishra had a dream. In that dream, a very effulgent celestial Brahman appeared to him and said, Jagannath Mishra, your child is a divine being. He's the Supreme Lord. It is not appropriate that you chastise him and that you punish him the way you do. Jagannath Mishra replied, he may be a great being. He may be a demigod. He may even be the Supreme Lord. But he has taken birth as my son, and I am his father. If I do not teach him how to behave properly, how will he ever learn? Shri Jagannath Mishra Ki Jai.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gau Premanandi.
Jagannath Mishra had a dream. In that dream, a very effulgent celestial Brahman appeared to him and said, Jagannath Mishra, your child is a divine being. He's the Supreme Lord. It is not appropriate that you chastise him and that you punish him the way you do. Jagannath Mishra replied, he may be a great being. He may be a demigod. He may even be the Supreme Lord. But he has taken birth as my son, and I am his father. If I do not teach him how to behave properly, how will he ever learn?